Jazz, 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, Jamal Ahmed, and the Soul of Jazz on this Thursday afternoon. That was lovely music coming from Miss Liz Wright, and she called that one You, coming from her latest LP, her fourth album entitled Freedom and Fifth. Oh, let me get that straight. Fifth album. She had to check me on that one. Freedom and Surrender. And love that project. She's going to be doing her thing this upcoming weekend, and I'm so honored to have her sitting right in front of me. How you doing, Liz?
Jamal, it's so good to see you. It's great to be here.
It's a blessing to see you. It's a blessing. Step up to that microphone, because you know you got that mellowness going. You
Is
know?
That better?
There we go. Okay. There we go. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yes, yes. Good to see you. It's been about a couple of years since we saw you down here. You were putting out that last record, which was entitled
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Yeah, I love that record. I think you did some things with Michelle and Diego Cello on that record. And
yeah, I've had I've done a lot of things with Michelle and Toshi and just and Chris Bruce, and it's been a real journey of fellowship. Really, the entire book of records at this point.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, exactly. When you look at your entire journey, your first record came out, what, 2004, something like that? What was the...
I think it might have been, or possibly earlier. Might have been three or four. Might have been three.
Yeah, some around then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, of course, seeing you around the city before then.
Oh, yes.
Just doing your thing. And I think everybody knew that there was something special happening. I remember seeing you at the jam sessions at Churchill Ground.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Back in the day, and it was just beautiful. But let's talk about you. Now you're from where again, Liz?
Well, I'm originally from Georgia, Jamal. Originally from Hayhira, Georgia.
Okay, where is that?
It's just above Florida. It's very close to Valdosta, and just along 75. And I've been in Georgia most of my life, but I am now in North Carolina, and I was in New York for a while. So it's nice to be back in the woods. It's nice to be able to drive to see y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we can feel that energy too. Well, what was it like growing up in Georgia, especially in that rural part of Georgia?
It was great. I had wonderful parents who, I'm really just learning how innovative they were, really creative in the way they raised us. My father would lead us in these ceremonies or these little mini church services at home called family devotion. And they were incredibly boring. They were absolutely like just dreadful to me as a child. But now I'm like, oh my goodness. We used to have to, he'd pick a hymn. So I know all the hymns. And he also would read a passage from the Bible and give us parts to play and give us lines. And we three kids and my mother would have to just play along and repeat after him. So I don't know where his stamina came from. I mean, he would preach Sunday, do Bible study, Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever, and then we would have family devotion pretty much nightly. So it was just a lot of great patterns and rhythms and conversations and eating together, and I got to continue a lot of that feeling of just familial sharing, and even on the Atlanta jazz scene. I owe so much to musicians here and the jazz lovers here. We really spent time. So that's really what has made, this sound and this place where I am. It's been touched by so many people, yourself included, Jamal.
Oh, well, hey. I don't know if I can lay any claim to any of that great energy, but I appreciate you, Liz. I appreciate you so much. But, I think that's beautiful when you talk about the way you were raised, because it's so unique, especially when you look at American living.
Yeah.
It's very urban centric, and it's all about this kind of me energy now as opposed to we.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that gospel piece too, because there's that line that runs through your music, and you've been able to fuse so many styles with gospel, jazz in particular, that I haven't really heard done in a contemporary way or style. But talk about that gospel piece.
Well, Jamal, just continuing from this whole kind of communal living and the music of sharing, which is essentially what gospel is to me. I came into, first of all, my experience in gospel was basically all about being put to work. My father had a storefront church in Montezuma, Georgia, Southwest Georgia, and being raised in my family was a lot like being raised on a farm. You're born a hand, And you got to get on board with whatever talents and skills you got and help out. So, you know, I was not only singing, I was trying to figure out how to, you know, put songs in order for different parts of the service. I was teaching Sunday school, whatever it took, you know, but I was definitely like just another hand on the deck. And so as I came, you know, I left home and tried to figure out what to do with myself in school, and I knew I didn't want to be a preacher too. Though my father would say, he says to this day, he would have paid for everything if I'd gone into ministry. So I kind of came to Atlanta with, like, you know, with a big question mark, like, what in the world am I going to do? And Jamal, to this day, I truly believe that the song Salt came as an inspiration from, you know, I don't know, maybe my ancestors or the Lord just telling me, like, don't be afraid, just, you know, live your questions. That's what the 20s are for. It's okay. You know, I'm here. You're fine. And I met great people here, and I literally sang my way into figuring out who I am, you know, and I'm still doing that. And so it's really been this open journey. And so jazz I found to be just as communal as the gospel. I listened to Mary McPartland's Piano Jazz Show before I came up here to Atlanta, which for me was truly the big city. And I loved the fellowship and camaraderie between she and her guest. And, you know, and suddenly pieces of conversation, listening to somebody and responding, became music, you know, improvisation, form and, you know, spontaneous response. So all of that felt familiar, but it was this sophisticated language fellowship is what jazz was for me. And ironically, when I met you know, Ron Semblist and Kenny Banks and Terry Ungulley, all those beautiful people who played such a great hand in my beginning, the name of the group was In the Spirit. So I there was this beautiful seamlessness that life created, and I looked like a genius, but man, I just played along.
You know, that's important. That's very important. And I'm glad you mentioned Salt, because that was the first one that I heard. And I remember, and I still play that demo version. I love the album version, but there's something just so idyllic about that first version. That's just, you know, you really can't touch it. But I remember the woman who used to come on before me on Friday nights, Renee Williams.
Yes.
Used to come on. And I remember one night I'm getting ready to do my Friday night show, because I was only on Friday nights, and she played it. And, you know, normally I'm just getting my stuff ready, and it's cool. She's playing great stuff. But on this particular day, she played that song, and it made me rush in here. And I said, who is that? And she told me who you were and that you were local. And I said, wow, I've got to check her out, because there's something unique about your voice and your presentation. And then when you came out, when you released that first record, there was a lot of love coming from all type of people. I mean, your first video was directed by Spike Lee, of all people.
Oh my gosh. I remember walking through Martha's Vineyard not knowing how to pose, how to even, you know, just wear those clothes and sit on boats. And the extension of his direction was just staring at me and going, sing. I'm like, he's done all this incredible work, and that's all he's got for me.
That sounds like Spike, though.
I was absolutely moved that he had found me. You know, people can say a lot of things about Spike, but I must say he looks to see what people are doing. And if he really feels it, he'll get down and help. You know, he was one of the first people.
Wow. I mean, he really got... I thought that was in Georgia, actually.
No, it was in Martha's Vineyard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I never knew that. But it seems like he knows how to get that feeling, though, because he's an artist with what he does, you know?
Yeah, he's an artist. He's brilliant. I met one of my best friends there, Emilio Sosa, who actually now is like a Project Runway, you know, finalist and now a Broadway stylist. I can't even find him anymore, but he's one of my dearest friends. I met him on Spike's shoot, and you know, I just and about the whole country part, you know, Jamal, I will always be country. If I'm in the scene, it suddenly became country. My feet are just as big. It's all the same. As soon as you come on the scene, you're like, oh, man, it got country.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to, if you want a good peach, you got to be kind of fuzzy, you know?
You know, it's part of it.
It's part of it. But, I mean, when you first came out, it was, I didn't know what to expect. I always, you know, I would see you live, and I would hear what you would do, and I heard Salt, and I said, okay, this is where she's going. Mm-hmm. But your record went all type of places. You were, you didn't really stay in a particular bracket. Mm-hmm. What were you trying to express musically with that first record and with a lot of those records that came after it?
You know, Jamal, I can answer that by telling you a thought I had recently. In fact, I looked back over the little growing catalog I have now, and I thought, wow, it would be better if I compared what's happening here to the work of like a painter or you know, a visual artist who worked with several different, you know, mediums at once. Because I am essentially looking at the human experience while I'm, you know, immersed in it. But I am looking at it as a landscape, and I am trying to talk to people that I don't always know. I am exploring life through song. And for me, it has always been a way to explore the world and to connect to it, to study it. And so it's almost been this kind of, you know, free-handed, kind of abstract, almost scientific at times approach to exploring life and exploring people, exploring cultures. And so I finally realized that I needed to provide language for that approach I've had all this time, which explains the breadth of the music. And it also helps to know that my father would read all kinds of stories. The tradition that I come from is a storytelling tradition.
Mm.
You know, Dad was a minister, so he naturally was telling stories and opening stories and animating them. But he also would read Shakespeare's plays. He had a big, beautiful leather-bound book, and I always thought my father sounded crazy. He'd come home from, like, you know, working in the aircraft hangar, and sometimes he wouldn't even take off his jumper, and he'd start reading to us. And I'd sometimes smell the fuel, you know, from his suit, and he'd be reading, like, and he'd say Capulet. And I was like, what is this big old black man talking about Capulet? And but his care for these stories and his willingness to make them mean something to me, to make them accessible, is why I fell in love with words and stories. He also read every story from the book called A People Who Could Fly. And it basically is like old slave folk tales. They're full of like humor and magic and tricks. And it's really incredible. And actually those stories are also read by James Earl Jones on the CD. But anyway, so my dad was reading in like the voices of Brer Rabbit and, you know, magical animals and Shakespeare's stuff. I mean, it was really unbelievable. So my relationship with songs is a reflection of my relationship with stories.
Right, right, right. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with vocalist, songwriter, and just all-around cool sister, Liz Wright, who is here in the studio. She's got a show happening this upcoming Sunday over there at the Buckhead Theater. We're going to talk about that in a little while, Liz. But I want to talk to you about songs. Because one thing I love about you is that you can really convey a good song. And the song is always the heart of the matter, you know, when you look at music. And sometimes people forget that about music. Talk about songwriting for you and what it does for you as a release. Or is it a release for you, shall I say, first, and then kind of come after that?
Sure. I look for the same things from songs that I get the chance to write and also from ones that I am thinking about covering. And I look to be moved beyond myself. I look to be pulled or to be struck in some way. And I don't, Jamal, always have to understand what has happened or what it was. In other words, if I experience what I'm calling a spark with a song, I may not sing it for years. Like when I heard Dr. Regan's I Remember, I Believe, I said, oh my goodness, I'm not ready to sing this. You know, I knew it. But I lived with it and I lived in it and literally developed a relationship with both the song and with her voice until I felt like I had something to stand on and something to bring to it. So I am looking for my own experience of growth and transformation in a certain direction, you know, that I choose. And I can have a strong need to say something or to get something out and take that journey of transformation, or I can see it in the way that someone has composed a well-crafted song and I see singing it as exploring it, as studying it, you know.
Mm.
And a well-crafted song can hold a lot of other voices and a lot of other stories, you know, that can put a tilt on the meaning. The same way you move light around and suddenly your image is incredibly different but right. hasn't changed.
Right.
So
right.
I love this. I never get tired. I'm endlessly inquisitive. I don't know if it sells millions of records at a time, but I know that it keeps me in conversation with the people. And it keeps me in love with music.
So exactly.
I'm good with it, you know?
Yeah. No, I've got to ask you this, Liz. Mm. Were you ever acknowledged, you know, as a young woman in your teens or whatnot, were you ever acknowledged as an old soul? Because you just got that old soul energy. Like, even, I mean, it's crazy. Like, when I first heard your voice on Salt, it immediately took me back to being a child with my mother, and my mother's favorite group was Sweet Honey and the Rock.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
She loved Sweet Honey and the Rock. And then when I heard your voice, it took me back to that. And I said, who's this young woman conjuring up this energy? But have you ever been, you've been here before a few times, though, haven't you?
I have, Jamal. You know, the beautiful irony of what you're telling me is that Dr. Bernice Johnson Regan, who founded Sweet Honey and the Rock, is also Georgia born. Mm. And so Toshi Regan, her daughter, said the most beautiful thing. She's a really dear sister, friend of mine. She said when she heard me sing, she called her mom and said, Mom, someone is singing in the way that you teach people to sing.
Wow.
But you haven't taught her.
Look at that.
And so, you know, I was so grateful. There's a footage somewhere on YouTube where I finally got to be on stage with Toshi and Dr. Regan. And I can feel this lineage, you know, I can feel this extension. She's now my godmother, but like, before all that was really kind of formalized, I could really feel it. And I think it's a Georgia thing, Jamal. I think there's something in our water. I find so much music in the way my grandmother talks and moves around. But I find music in the way we all relate to each other. I don't know what it is, but it really works for me. It speaks to me. I love being home. And every time I go all the way down to Hehara, where I'm from, I write something. I just try to make sure I have lots of storage. I dictate all kinds of things on long drives, you know, and then just try to take them apart later. But the people here and the nature here and the earth here is full of music. There's such an abundance here, you know, in the way that we exist here.
Interesting. You know, you saying that, because I just had a conversation the other day. I was actually being interviewed for a documentary, and they were talking about Georgia and the importance of Georgia, and it's specifically Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, when you look at Georgia as a state, you really have to really step back and really pay attention to what's happening in Georgia, because when you look at all of popular music, Georgia, out of all the states in the union, it's probably one of the most important states, because it created the innovators, the people who were those pivotal people who made the changes. I mean, you look at someone like Dr. Thomas Dorsey out of Villa Rica, who created gospel music, the father of gospel music coming out of Ma Rainey's camp. Mm-hmm. You can look at Ray Charles with soul music, James Brown with funk.
Yes.
So many people. And you really just answer that. It's about the music in the soil.
Yeah, and it's the rhythm of how we have worked with the land, how we have worked with each other in our sharing, you know. And so there's a cadence. And it's funny, Dr. Regan and I were laughing one point because I was trying to explain to a drummer that I didn't want him to change the tempo, but just sit in another place in it. It sounded so subtle and unlearned and ridiculous that I was like, look, I don't speak Berkeley and I have all respect for the money they paid, but I need you to sit back, but don't move it. You know, and so it's all this subtle stuff that ends up sounding like what our mothers and our fathers have said,
exactly.
You know, about how to fix something or serve up something or cook something. You can use that same language when you're talking about music, you know, in the context of Georgia and in the culture here. You can use the same language for how to play something and how to make it feel. And it's really amazing how people respond once you give them a chance to be so playful with language, you know. I have so much fun with my band, and I'm so glad, you know, I have, you know, these people who have tolerated me for almost 10 years now, and they've learned this language that is really unique to where I come from and how I feel, and so I'm just so glad to bring them home.
And there's a lot of simplicity, well, a lot of eloquence in that simplicity, especially in the southernness of it all. There's so much of that. You know, I want to talk, speaking of simplicity, I want to talk about your latest LP, which is entitled Freedom and Surrender. Mm-hmm. And those are two just simple concepts, mm-hmm. But very vast ideals. Talk about that record. What were you trying to get across, one, with the title, mm-hmm. But with two, with the direction you were going musically and spiritually with that record?
Well, Jamal, interestingly enough, the direction was the first discussion, and it was supposed to be, and it actually is, a record of love songs. I had a great conversation with Larry Klein, who I love, incredible bassist, incredible songwriter and producer. And we had been wanting to work together in the past, so we finally were able to line our lives up. And we decided to set out to make a record of love songs, whatever that came to mean along the way. And initially I was supposed to be looking for only covers, but I said, you know, in my conversation with the people, I'm behind. I have to tell them where I've been. And maybe I can do that in some cover songs, but I need to write just to make sure I can find my themes and my truths. You know, and maybe I can clothe these ideas in completed songs in time, you know, but at least I'll know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So Larry and I set out and ended up doing a lot of the writing together. So this record is a real reflection of an incredibly vast conversation about love. And interestingly enough, the songs that ended up bookending the sequence is Freedom at the beginning and Surrender at the end. And we were talking about the title, and the new game came up, and I said, no, don't ever name anything new, because time is cruel. It'll bring that home to you, and, you know, you'll be wiping dust off of it. No, no, no. Let's do something else. And then we realized that there is an entirely, you know, endless conversation between those two words. Mm. And it is a way to talk about love or anything else, really. And it's beautiful to look at our lives and our experiences in love and to think about how we vacillate between the two and experiences where they're one and the same, all of that. I mean, it just got juicy. I was like, wow, you know, there's so much here between these two words. I almost wish I'd written a song with the title as a title. But, you know, Toshi's amazing. It was all there. And yeah, I'm grateful that it worked. Sometimes you have what you're trying to make, you know, in the pieces in front of you already.
Right, right. And you know, what I love about the record is the array of pulse that's on the record. There's so many different feelings. I mean, from the duet with Gregory Porter to the title track, which Freedom, actually, which is one of my favorites off of the record. But even like a track like Lean In, which is you know, I'm not used to hearing you sing like that, you know. And I saw the video and I said, look at her now. What's happening here? Somebody done grown up.
But I was trying to move some things in time, you know. Side to side, brother, side to side. I dressed it up a little bit. It's still side to side.
You did it right, though. You did it right. I loved it. But it was good and refreshing to see that. And I think that's always a good thing with music, as long as there's this refreshing quality. If you've been around for 60 years, you know, someone who came out 60 years ago, if they start rapping and they feel it, I'm not mad at them. You know?
You, Jamal, you are the dream listener that every artist is actually making records for. We just need you to have like 10,000 babies and we'll all be fine.
Don't know if I got that in me, but we'll will it.
But
we'll,
you know,
will
it's really great. It's true. There is such an art to even observing and taking things in. And I was a little nervous about capturing the breath of my conversation with Larry, but to us, it was all very concise. It was all very present. I mean, I would go, our pre-production process, Jamal, was for me to go to LA for like, you know, 10, 12 days and to spend about 5 hours a day during the week writing. And to even think now that I was able to grab that much of Larry Klein's time is kind of mind-blowing. And then when I wasn't there in the studio working with him, I was at the beach, you know, and I was running. So there's this whole other rhythm and this whole other life I got to work with. And I had a really great time. And I told him at the beginning, I said, man, nothing is guaranteed, but what I really want as an artist to experience with you is a great process. And I know that that's here. I feel that. So let's do that and then let whatever the music business and the world at large, whatever it wants to be, let's let that be. But I really want to have a great time, and I at least hope that people will hear that I had a really wonderful time, and that, you know, I'm really in these songs, you know. So maybe it's too vast or too varied, and maybe I shouldn't take so long to make records because there's too much in me for people to take the rainbow when I wait too long. Maybe I can make it more concise as I get more mature. Who knows? But I had so much fun doing this, and I'm having so much fun touring these songs.
I was just about to ask you, next question. So you have a show on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since we've seen you here in the ATL.
Yeah.
So we're all looking forward to that. You're going to be up there at the Buckhead Theater at 8 o'clock. What is that live experience like now with these new songs in the mix?
It's really fun. What I have now, you know, with the music across these five records and some things that I haven't recorded yet that I love to do live, is a real arc, you know, that I am crafting with my own hand. I don't have like a kitchen full of, you know, chefs with white coats on trying to make sure it's absolutely ready for the masses. Like, I am coming back to my conversation with the people, which is what moves me to do this. Outside of my love for music alone, that's what moves me to do this. And so, you know, it's always huge to come home. It's always like a ton of fun. And it's really nice, even for me, Jamal, to see the thread, you know, that's running through all of this. And you can sing it much better than you can talk it. And it's hard to encapsulate it, but in a live show, you know, I don't leave with as much question about what it is that Liz does, and the audience members don't leave with as much of a question. And somehow, you know, the language of presence and sharing in the moment is clear. You know, that's where I'm clear, you know. So It's fun. I'm excited and I'm having a great time, and I am still playing with Atlanta's very own, I mean, from the days of Salt, Kenny Banks, and he's actually going to be there.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love his sound. He's that guy that knows how to walk that line between jazz and gospel.
Oh, man.
Perfectly.
Man, I, you know, it's funny. And now I have to say Kenny Banks Sr. because Kenny Banks Jr. is a presence in this world, you know, and he sounds amazing. So.
Yeah.
I am just so happy. I remember, you know, Jamal, that first time I sat in at what used to be called Churchill Grounds. You know, I think it's called the Whisper Room now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I sang the standards that I knew, and there was nothing left. And, you know, the owner was like, hey, you got something else? And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I just asked Kenny what it could do to Amazing Grace, and that's what all this is.
And, yep, the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, before I let you go, Liz, I have to tell you a quick story, and I guess I'm telling it to the city, but one of my fondest memories of you is being at a club. I was actually at this club that I haven't been to in many years. What is that club called? MJQ.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you remember we used to go there back in the day. Really nice place. But there was a DJ in town from London, and he was playing, Digo actually, from the band For Hero, was there, and he was playing this music that the crowd just could not get. He was playing like this broken beat, and people were like, what is he doing? And I mean, I've never seen it where an international act comes to our city and the crowd doesn't get it. And I mean, people just were like leaving the floor one by one, just one by one. But that last person that stayed on that floor and supported that man was you. I remember sitting there and looking at Liz and being like, she's the only one supporting this man right now and showing him love. She's going to be blessed for that one day. And lo and behold, look at you now. But what it really showed me too was how open you are and how open-minded you can be. Are you open to doing some interesting collaborations in the future?
Oh, man. Jamal, I live for great collaborations. I absolutely love it. And I even am completely comfortable admitting that I am better in conversation. I am better, you know, when I have someone to say something to. And it's nice to even be able to pretend that I'm doing that when I have to do the work and round out, you know, a project on my own. But I am simply better in conversation. I'm inspired by people. I love what they provoke in me. And so I collaborated with a beautiful cast of writers and musicians on this last record, and have already been in conversation with some for the one I'm going to start next winter. So I'm thrilled. This is what I live to do. And as far as, you know, me being the last one on the dance floor for the weird song, you know, he was probably playing like the siren's call for the geeks or something. It was like for all the quirky ones, you know. So I was hearing my music.
I guess you were. I guess you were. And look at you now. Well, God bless you in all your future endeavors, Liz Wright. And you know what? We want to remind folk again that you're going to be up there at the Buckhead Theater this upcoming Sunday, February the 28th at 8 o'clock p.m. Make sure that you go on our website, WCOK.com, to find out more information about that show as well. And can we get out of here with my favorite song off of your, well, I can't say my favorite, one of my favorites off of your album. Can we go ahead and do that?
Yes, sir.
This is the one with the sexy video. I think, I'll just leave it at that. It's a nice vibe, Liz. I love it. I love
side
it.
Side to side, brother. Side to side.
Side to side. Keep it like that. Take care, Liz. All right.